Today's program has been brought to you by the International Culinary Center, offering courses that range from classic French techniques in culinary, pastry, and bread baking to Italian studies to management, from culinary technology to food writing, from cake making to wine tasting. For more information, visit internationalculinarycenter.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Feeding the Future, Heritage Radio's program dedicated to the health and well-being of the next generation. I'm your host, Oriane Cosentino. Thank you for tuning in. Today, our guest will be Chef Brian Lewis of Elm Restaurant in New Canaan, Connecticut. We're going to talk to this award-winning chef about his latest project at Elm, Little Foodies. We'll also discuss not becoming a short-order cook, what to do when our kids are being all bossy pants about what they want for dinner. I had been warned about this situation by other parents, and I had witnessed it myself as a chef for families, where I was literally the short order cook, making different dishes for each family member's preferences, and which created a far from peaceful mealtime. So, when the journey of feeding my own child began, I thought about approaches that would promote the spirit of exploration, and at the same time provide some structure at the table. So, I came up with a two-part solution. In the first stage of eating table food, many babies will eat pureed anything. The first change comes around 1 year, and this is about when also when communication becomes more voluntary. Kids begin to choose or refuse at the table. 1 year is also when pediatricians usually give the green light to feed a child whatever the parents eat. Might as well. There are so many ways to introduce new foods, so I experimented with several. And the first couple of years have proved to be interesting. The child is not only developing their palate, and certainly the palates will go through many changes, but his or her eating style is also beginning. They may like or dislike a food, and either way, decide to practice their wills when it comes to trying what is on the plate. The response? Just keep offering the foods that have been refused as if it's Groundhog's Day, and you have forgotten all and any past reactions to a particular item. It's also important not to perpetuate preferences. I've caught myself saying, oh, she doesn't like those, about tomatoes or avocados, when really either have gone in and out of favor about 3 times over the past year. So I keep offering tomatoes, I keep offering avocados if they're around, and never rule them out entirely. At mealtimes, when things are starting to get tricky, the intention of the two-part solution are to keep things moving and remaining calm. What I do is serve the meal in two courses. In this way, the kid is offered one part first, for example, the chicken and potatoes. I let this plate stay on the table, whether it's eaten right away or not. I offer bites. I allow the child to feed themselves with hands or spoon if the interest is there, or even let them just hold the spoon as a prop while I shovel in food. Cutting the food into manageably sized pieces or chunky mash, depending on the stage of development, and making sure the food is well seasoned also helps. A tiny pat of butter, some herbs, a drizzle of olive oil. These things really help the palatability of the food and also introduce the kid to new flavors. And after a reasonable amount of time, eaten or not, I clear away that first course, the chicken and potatoes, and bring on the next part of the meal. Maybe another vegetable with some plain yogurt or a grain salad, healthy toast, some chunks of cheese, something I'm pretty sure the kid will eat readily, but was not prepared as a response to the child's demand. It is instead an intentional part of the meal. When the second course is over, the meal is over. You can offer dessert if that's your family style, but it's not necessary. And you haven't stopped production on your meal to create a side dish or another total meal for your kid who is trying to stop from eating the rest of the meal with the rest of the family. Excuse me. This is not intended to create more work for the parent. It's just a matter of offering what you are cooking in a little bit of a different way in these two parts. This way, the child has the feeling that he's using his will by eating or not eating one or the other of the courses. But those are the two courses, and that is it. This habit can be continued as long as needed. If you see the kid is willingly starting to eat what is put in front of them, you don't have to continue the two-course system. Until then, though, the exercise introduces your little one to a balanced and organized meal. I'd like to welcome our guest, Chef Brian Lewis of Elm Restaurant in New Canaan, Connecticut. He's here to talk to us about his latest offering, Lil Foodies, a workshop that takes kids on a journey from market to menu. So, hi, Chef Brian.
Good afternoon.
We're just going to take a quick break before we start to talk about all the things that are going on in New Canaan.
Fantastic. It's great to be here.
Thank you for being here. So, everybody, please stay tuned to Feeding the Future on Heritage Radio Network.
You're listening to Weaving by Dead Stars on Feeding the Future, heritageradionetwork.org.
National Culinary Center is a proud sponsor of the HeritageRadioNetwork.org. The ICC, with locations in New York and California, provide cutting-edge education to future chefs, restaurateurs, and wine professionals. We're proud to claim Dan Barber, Bobby Flay, and David Chang among our honored alumni. This is Dorothy Cann Hamilton from Chef Story. Check out our ICC website at internationalculinarycenter.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Feeding the Future on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Oriane Cosentino, and we're here today with Chef Brian Lewis of Connecticut's Elm Restaurant. Not only is he an award-winning chef, garnering many accolades for his past and present work, his present work being his own restaurant, Elm, in New Canaan, Connecticut, but he also finds the time to contribute his expertise to his community in his new program at Elm called Lil Foodies, where each month he guides a group of kids from market to menu, teaching them in his own restaurant kitchen how to handle and prepare ingredients, create an exciting menu, and then the menu becomes the kids' selection of Elm's menu for the next month. Hello, Chef Brian. Welcome to Brooklyn.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here. Sitting here looking out in the courtyard, seeing all these young children eating this great pizza and all this cool stuff organic, beautiful ingredients out here.
It's very inspiring. So, I'm so glad to hear that this is starting to happen outside of Brooklyn and New York City, because there's a lot going on here and it's really easy to find this kind of stuff going on. So I feel like you've brought it out to Connecticut, and tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, so my wife Dana and my business partners as well, we really wanted to get outside the paradigm of the kids menu in a restaurant that speaks to that real white food, kind of heavy starch. And our restaurant's very elegant, but we wanted to certainly make sure that we were opening the door for everyone, all the families and the kids, and really just introducing them to this incredible bounty of Fairfield County in particular, and Westchester nearby as well. And you know, so we created this program where once a month we meet at the farmer's market, my wife Dana and I, and she's not in the business. She's just an amazing person with a huge heart and loves kids as I do, to inspire them to eat well. And so, you know, kids 8 to 14 or a little older is fine too, of course. You know, we tour them around the market for a good 20 minutes, right a block away, you know, in New Canaan. And then we have a show and tell, and they'll always choose a certain farmer that'll come out and speak to a certain ingredient. Then we'll go and and shop throughout the market. We'll pick up all sorts of different beautiful ingredients, and then we'll go back to the restaurant. My sous chef, Devin, will be there with kind of a behind-the-scenes lunch in motion, and then we'll have an idea board. We'll get at the chef's table, and we'll just create. I mean, the process basically goes from, all right, let's create a team, and the kids are hysterical. They're tons of fun. Create a name, the team of the little foodies, and it always varies, you know.
What was the name last month?
I think it was all girls, and they decided they were called Monsta Foodies or something like that, and it spelled M-O-N-S-T-A, of course, you know, and just really shocking, new Canaan with their approach. It was awesome, but yeah, they. So we create the idea board that, well, first of all, I want to say that the rules, there's two rules to the day, and besides just bring your appetite and you're open, you know, be open for inspiration, is parents, they all get a timeout. They're not allowed. They drop the kids off with us and then they go about their day and they enjoy, or their few hours, and then we ask for no phones or iPhones or, you know, all the technology. Yeah, you know, take notes in your mind and your heart, you know, just leave it like there, and then we just get going and just start a free form kind of communication and you know, what are your favorite things, and, you know, of course everyone, I like pasta, I like chicken Caesar salad, you know, stuff like that they're used to, and we try to encourage them through the food that we've culled from the market. And my sous chef, again, Devin, will come out, and, you know, we'll have some really cool things going on, and, you know, we'll go from there.
And do you find them open to tasting all of the things that you put in front of them, or is there some resistance? Or, I feel like sometimes when you take them out of their norm and put them in a new situation, they might be more apt to trying.
You know, they're very open. You know, Dana and I don't have children yet, but once we do, so check back with me. We'll come back next year and hopefully
we'll do.
you know, so we don't know how tough it can be. We have our ideas, but they're really, really open. And, you know, I don't know if it's because they know the dynamic that they're in and their parents aren't there, maybe, or maybe, I'm not quite sure why, but tomatoes, for instance, you know, half the kids love them and the other kids, it looks like a, you know, a small, you know, monster, and they're not ready to do it, but eventually they do. And, you know, we, of course, I think maybe the key is we don't force anything on them. You know, nothing's, you know, like I grew up trying to hide my broccoli or feed it to my dog, unsuccessfully, I might add. But no, it's a really cool, like, free flowing thing. And again, Dana will get up on the idea board and sketch out the, you know, all the ingredients. You know, we'll just build it by way of ingredient first, and then just start composing dishes that we, you know, we've pre-planned a little bit. But the goal of this workshop, you know, we feed them, and importantly, this entire, you know, thing is free. We never charge, nor will we ever charge for it. It's meant to just be a really open forum for exploring and being introduced to great local food, and beyond just exploring local food, exploring their minds of where they can go with it, you know.
And it's relatively new, am I right?
Yeah, just, I mean, my restaurants are, our restaurant's a little over a year, so we've been doing this for just a few months.
Right, awesome. Yeah. And where do you hope that it will lead?
Well, really, I mean, two part. You know, one is that kids keep coming, you know, out more and more, and, you know, we do it once a month, that we do it more, and that just means it's successful within our local community. That's, you know, so just a greater mass appeal within the community, and then ideally we can reach outside of our community and create field trips. And, you know, I have a friend who's a school teacher in Yonkers, and she wants to, in September, when school comes back, you know, have a, you know, get a bus, come on up, we'll go up to Millstone Farms, partners and friends of ours, right over in the town where we live, in Wilton, the next town over, and, you know, have a field day there, and then, you know, the farmer's market, take a break, and then just do it, you know, go through the ingredients there, maybe do something in October with the, you know, when the tomatoes are falling to the ground, and do something, you know, where you're going that route, and then going back to the restaurant or doing a workshop at Millstone, which we intend to do actually throughout the winter. We hope to do, you know, in maybe a canning or preserving workshop, stuff like that, which, of course, as well, getting into more cooking class-oriented things, which I've done with children as well. We just have to kind of get there as the year goes on.
Yeah, I was wondering if it doesn't take up a lot of their time in your restaurant? Like, is it monopolizing time that you need to be prepping for dinner?
You know, it's a good question. I mean, it's a good question. We certainly make the time for this, and even it doesn't matter really. It's just something we've committed to, and we really enjoy it. And you know, I think the real game is that they're going to grow up and they're all going to work for me for free down the road as payback for the next 10 years. No. But interestingly enough, you know, you opened with, I loved your opening segment today as well. And I actually grew up as 13 years old, washing dishes is a very common story for a lot of us crazy cooks. And then I started, you know, short order cooking in this really very cool kind of upscale diner, if you will. And that was my first job cooking was short order cooking. And you know, it was a great learning experience. It teaches you really, really some cool chops. So
yeah. And I feel like that's what you're beginning to instill in these kids. You know, they're going to start having familiarity with techniques and ingredients. And
yeah, who knows? Some of them, cooking is so, not to say fashionable, but it's really a very attractive, I mean, it was my sport as a kid. And you know, not everyone's an athlete and you know, or chooses to play sports, what have you. And, you know, it could be an interesting, you know, avenue to pursue once you're introduced to just, you know, as an offshoot from just healthy eating and delicious, you know, food. So.
And you actually have a stagiaire in your kitchen, don't you? Is she 11?
No, she's 13.
Oh, she's 13.
Whitney,
me.
And she was actually... a contender on so I tutored her for a while, again, just as a complimentary, you know, just as a nice relationship thing. And you know, her mom approached me and asked me if I would be open for that, and I was flattered, you know, to give back, kind of thing. Like, I remember when I was a kid, to have, you know, that inspiration, you know, it was a very you know, in a restaurant, it was all fast moving, and you just, you know, you go in on your own time and you do all the things that you do to advance and to become, you know, a really good cook or whatever you're trying to do. So I was very happy to be able to tutor her, and she went on for one of the national shows to be a contender and whatnot. So she's still on that journey, but
awesome.
It's cool that she's still working with us, and see where it goes. I mean, she still has high school ahead of her. I was ready to cook. I was ready to go to just Europe at like 14.
And who are some of the chefs that inspired you in your young career?
In my young career, I mean, there was a dear friend, local, you know, he was a local chef in Westchester County where I grew up. Not of a national name or anything like that, but just someone who really taught me, you know, how to make, you know, cut every bit of pasta with my hand and make pasta by hand, Tom Elia. He was a wonderful mentor. But as I grew up, you know, Jean-Louis Paladin for a bit, and then I was, you know, out in California, worked with some really great French chefs, and then I worked with Eberhard Muller in New York City, and Andy D'Amico back in the day. I'm dating myself here, but so.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come right back with Feeding the Future at Heritage Radio Network.
This one's called Kill Me in the Summertime by Dead Stars. Keep it locked for more Feeding the Future.
Just before the
Welcome back. You're listening to Feeding the Future on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Oriane Cosentino. We're here today with Chef Brian Lewis of Elm Restaurant in New Canaan, Connecticut. And we're talking about his workshop that takes kids on a journey from market to menu, Little Foodies. He is using his own restaurant, Elm, and his own connections through the community of, did you say Fairfield?
Yeah, Fairfield County.
Fairfield County. and so there you have farmers and all kinds of...
Yeah, it's actually, you know, I didn't grow up in Fairfield in Connecticut. I grew up just next door in New York and lots of time in California. And I never knew the bounty and just absolutely how gorgeous it was and, you know, how... And there's tons of chefs coming up that way and, you know, tons of restaurants opening up of real great quality in that area. So... It's a nice place to be.
Yeah, it's easy to get caught up in New York City.
Yeah, and this is a nice place to be, too.
Yeah, but not realize what's going on outside of it.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested in some of your techniques of menu creation with the kids, because I think maybe it could be a really nice tool for parents to involve kids in maybe like weekly menu planning at home. So what are some tips that you can give us about planning a menu with kids?
Bring my wife and have her manage all the chaos. So she puts, no, so we, the way we've done it is, you know, we have an easel with an idea board and that, you know, get up and just, what are your favorite things? You know, play along that line. And then try to, you know, encourage them to expand upon the buttered pasta theme. Right. And then, you know, having the ingredients at the table that we just went to the farmer's market is certainly a real tactile way to relate and get into, hey, this is black kale. Oh, you like Caesar salad? Black kale Caesar salad, you know, the Caballonero is fantastic. It's kind of the rave these days, I think, within the Caesar salad rave, because there's right. a rave out there. I'm telling you.
I think there's a kale rave in general.
It's crazy. They have their website. No, so it's really just, there's familiarity that it's going to help you along, in my opinion, and then just a right hook with, wow, we could do this with something really healthy. So, for instance, a chicken Caesar salad is what most children, a lot of children are introduced to at various levels of restaurants. So the black kale or the Caballonero Caesar salad, and then a lovely organic chicken. You know, we just do a sous vide it, and then we do a tempura. So if it's chicken Caesar salad, but it's done in a really interesting way, I mean, I would eat it. You know,
right.
it's something that I would be proud to serve. To serve them, and obviously, you know, the kale has incredible nutritive value, and it's really delicious. So, you know, that's a perfect example of right. Of a dish that
and
we've done.
Next time they see kale somewhere, they won't cringe.
Yeah,
because they are familiar,
right? And then children, like, you know, love crispy fried things, and I think, you know, sure, there's better ways to eat it. You could have it raw, but so we'll introduce either like a crudité, or so we'll take a 10-12 vegetables in different ways and. Locally foraged, we're big into that too, the local foraging, and we'll show them like the garden vegetables and the garden herbs and flowers, and we'll do a raw version of that, and we'll show them that, and they'll eat that, and they'll either, some will love it, and then we'll do a tempura fried version of that, and, you know, maybe with some white miso or something. And
that'll hook them.
Yeah, so, but then they get it either way, you know, they could have it super healthy, or pretty healthy, you know, but either way, it's local, it's delicious and such, so.
How does the kids' menu sell at the restaurant?
It's in, you know, for all the kids that come in, it sells almost 100% to the children that come in. There's a few that come in and want the escargot tortelloni, and that's no joke. They and order double orders. They're really, really adventurous. But for the kids that come in, that's, you know, the format we've done is we set it up on their own menu, and they all put their name on the menu and. It's printed so that when they come in, and that's what I think is really special, is there's a sense of ownership to it. There's a sense of pride, and, you know, of course, it's funny to have a team name. So the team name's on it, and then the kid's first name and an initial of their last name, and you know, you go to the dining room, and they're just beaming. It's really cute and, you know, inspiring of other kids that maybe weren't in that particular group, and then they come in, and then they order from that menu, and then maybe they come into the next class, and it just goes and goes and goes.
And so you were saying it's the dining experience in your restaurant is it's a bit upscale. It's a really beautiful, peaceful place. How is it that you incorporate families into that peaceful atmosphere? Is it easy? Is it chaotic? Is it?
No, I think, I mean, we really want it to be continually, you know, evolving as restaurants are these living, beautiful things. And I think the guests define you in a lot of ways, you know, and the more that families feel comfortable that they can break bread, you know, and be in that beautiful environment. It's not stuffy. We don't even have tablecloths. It's, you know, it's more, you know, more of a hip environment, for want of a better word.
Right.
And we like to capture that and have a place where it feels like, you know, like it could be your Sunday supper spot as well. So it's, and it works nicely.
Any tips for parents bringing kids to the restaurant? Yep. Restaurant owner wants to say this in a public place.
I think it's really, I haven't experienced it yet, but they're so well behaved and they just, you know, it's not the flying Cheerios everywhere that you see. I mean, it makes me very happy. It's especially Sunday brunch when you see, you know, kids and families and running around and more of the madness, you know, Sunday in particular, or when we're opening for lunch in September, and I'm sure we'll get more of that. A lot of times our restaurant, you know, some folks tend to say, oh, it's just, you know, date night or out with our friends, but it makes us all, my partners and I in particular, really happy when we see the whole family out.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good. So you don't have any tips like clean up your own Cheerios from under the table or?
No, I think maybe it would be focus on your, you know, like really, I think if the food's inspiring and really delicious and that's the kind of focal point, then they're looking at the menu and then they're identifying with what they had. So it's just staying on point, so to speak, for the parents to remind them maybe, you know what, this is really cool, or, you know, not just have the menu drop down. But maybe that's actually a good question now that I think about it, is that take that menu and go forward in the dialogue at the table with what's going on. It's not just, you know, the chef did all the work. Now it's, you know, he just took, you know, now they have the responsibility. Well, I'm on a whole new topic. That's a good point. That's
wonderful.
Is to take that whole thing, everything they've learned, the child or been introduced to, bring it to home and have it a continuum and a dialogue that goes on for a long time. So maybe I should talk to the parents a little bit more about how to do that.
I think the parents' presence is extremely important in every meal.
Yeah.
That, you know, that you're sharing with a kid.
Yeah.
Or most of them, let's say. And I think that it helps the child to focus. It helps the child to be more into the experience of eating and not, what am I doing after I'm eating?
Right.
Or where's my toy? Or this, that, you know.
Part of, you know, leading up to this, or on or around about the same time when we did the Little Foodies, it was in the spring. For my wife's birthday, I gave her she asked for a little garden. I think she wanted something the size of like a box that would sit on your window box. And we created like a 30 by 37 foot high, you know, really ambitious garden. And had to remind myself it wasn't mine, it was hers. So I could only bring so much to the restaurant. And now I'm her gardener. And it is absolutely unbelievable. We have like 13, 15 foot sunflowers and all these, you know, we have some flowers in there too. But I really, to your point about, you know, involving the children in the dialogue, I can't wait till we have kids and they're actually picking their food, bringing it back into the house. And I mean, you know, that's pretty special.
Yeah, my kid, we have a couple of herbs growing in our yard and my kid will just pick a mint leaf, pick a basil leaf and just chew on it. You know, lemon balm, chew on it.
Right.
It's, and my heart like overwhelms with the joy.
Yeah, I mean,
she's not afraid of green things.
That's awesome.
You know?
I mean, I was probably eating, you know, I don't know what kind of, you know, pulling out of the yard when I was a kid, but I'm sure I was. Yes, exactly.
how could people be involved in Little Foodies? How do they contact you? How do they enroll?
You go to our website and, you know, we certainly call the restaurant. You just go to the restaurant website, www.elmrestaurant.com, and, you know, it'll navigate you right through there. You'll see lots of photos and just really get a feel for, you know, what the Little Foodie Workshop is. And, you know, you can make a reservation either online or just give a call.
Excellent. I would love for my kid to learn about food in your beautiful restaurant.
Well, and you won't get a timeout. We'll have you stay with us. You'll actually be part of it.
Well, she has a few years before she can qualify.
Cool.
So thank you so much, Chef Brian Lewis.
My pleasure.
Thank you, listeners. That's all the time we have. So thanks for listening in to Feeding the Future on Heritage Radio Network. You can find this episode and many more at heritageradionetwork.org. And you can download podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher. We also have a Facebook page, so come find us, Feeding the Future. on Heritage Radio Network.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.